Any word on whether either one of the adjuvant studies, the NSABP trial you mentioned, CO8, or the Avant International study might be reporting in terms of efficacy?
If I could handicap these things, I probably would have a different job. The likelihood is that, you know, we'll get a little bit of updated toxicity information this coming spring. Efficacy probably will be later in the year or likely next year. And the irony is that if the treatment actually works well, that means that there'll be fewer events overall, and actually the time to the data come in will actually be pushed back a little bit. And of course, that would be a good thing because that implies we have something that works better.
You mentioned the issue of arterial events. Can you provide an update on what we know about the risk and how we can estimate risk based on the patient's clinical characteristics?
Yeah. So the risk of a cardiovascular complication seems to be a class effect for all VEGF inhibitors. The largest data set clearly is with bevacizumab, and that experience is largely in the setting of chemotherapy and where patients are on treatment for a fairly prolonged period of time. If you take an all-comers approach, sort of the background risk is about 1% in the control group and about 2% in the group getting chemotherapy plus bevacizumab, if you pool multiple data sets. Within that, if you look for any predisposing risks, two factors seem to drop out or drop in. One is age, and we know that age is a general risk factor. So in the control group, the risk goes up to about 4%, and in the bevacizumab group, it seems to go up to about 8%. Now, the more complicated scenario is for patients who had, quote-unquote, a history of a cardiovascular event in the past. The nature of that event was not well captured, usually either by the oncologist, and was not tracked in great detail in the case report forms for the database. In addition, there were only a small number of patients who had a prior event. Again, the event had to be more than a year before treatment as an eligibility criteria. With those huge disclaimers, the potential for a cardiovascular complication might be as high as sort of in the 10% range for that group if you're older and have had an event. And again, it's older people who are at highest risk in general, and that risk can go up to the sort of 16 to 18% risk if you're older and had a prior event. Now, the part that gets a little bit more complicated is the risk-benefit ratio, not just the risk, which we just mentioned. So if you look at the chance of benefit in terms of progression-free survival or overall survival, the benefits in those higher risk subgroups seems to be the same as for patients in the study as a whole. And what that means is even though their risk of having a cardiac complication is increased, the driver on their morbidity and mortality is still their cancer. I think for this highest risk subgroup, particularly those patients who've had a prior event, we still need to individualize therapy on whether or not the risk benefit is appropriate for them. And we need to seriously think about ways to modulate that risk, particularly to improve the risk. And with the risk improvement, there are a couple things which I think clinicians should be reminded of. The first is good blood pressure control should be used in all patients, and particularly those on a VEGF inhibitor. Hypertension is a risk for cardiac and cerebrovascular complications. The second is good general cardiovascular prophylaxis, that is, use of a baby aspirin or a statin. Would probably be recommended unless there's a contraindication to those. In a retrospective analysis, it appeared that use of baby aspirin may have improved the risk of a cardiac event. That's not definitive, but there was no increased risk of bleeding complications. So in aggregate, I would interpret this to mean that absent a contraindication, we should probably use standard cardiovascular prophylaxis in all of our patients.